Darnell did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. In Halifax, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, construction training sits empty while housing developments struggle to find qualified electricians. Workers who want to retrain cannot access courses that have unfilled places, and housing projects that have planning permission cannot find the skilled trades to build them.
I've always been good with my hands. My uncle Tommy ran a small building firm in Halifax, and I started working for him when I left school at 16. Nothing fancy, just labouring mostly, but I learned how buildings go together, how to read plans, how to spot when something's not right. Tommy used to say, I had the eye for it, that I could make a proper tradesman if I stuck with it. Then 2008 happened. The work dried up overnight, developers stopped returning calls, projects got cancelled, and by Christmas that year, Tommy was closing the business. It's not you, lad, he told me when he had to let me go. There's just no money about. I spent the next decade in warehouses, picking orders, driving forklifts, watching the clock, steady work, but it wasn't what I wanted to be doing. By 2019, things were picking up again around Calderdale. New housing estates going up in Northourham, Elland, all around the valley. I'd drive past the sites on my way to the warehouse and see the same thing every time. Plenty of bricklayers, plenty of general labourers, but they were always waiting for electricians. The spark would turn up, wire one house, then disappear to another job. Everything else would stop until he came back. That's when I decided to get qualified properly. I went to Calderdale College in September 2019, asked about their electrical installation course. The woman at the desk was helpful enough. We run a good programme, she said. Level 3 qualification, everything you need. But I'm afraid the apprenticeship places are all full. You'll need to wait until next September. Fair enough, I thought. I kept working, saved up a bit more, applied for September 2020. Then COVID hit. When I rang the college in March, they told me the course was suspended. We don't know when face-to-face training will resume, the administrator said. The workshops need to stay closed for now. 2021, I tried a different approach. I'd heard about the Construction Industry Training Board, so I rang them directly. The advisor was patient, explained how the levy system worked. Your area falls under Yorkshire and the Humber, she said. The trouble is, the regional allocation has already been spent on existing apprenticeships. There's just no budget left this year. When I asked about next year, she said I'd have to apply again and hope the funding was still available. So I went to the Job Centre Plus on Northgate. The advisor pulled up the system, scrolled through options. We can put you on a basic construction skills course, she said. Level 1, health and safety, bit of plastering, bit of painting, that's what's available. When I explained I needed the Level 3 electrical qualification, she shook her head. Advanced training funding has been cut back to essential skills only. That's the directive from head office. It was walking past Calderdale College one afternoon in November 2021 that I saw what didn't make sense. The main building was busy enough, students going in and out, but round the back, where the construction workshops were, I could see through the windows rows of electrical training rigs, the kind with proper consumer units and cables, everything you'd need to learn the trade, but they were just sitting there. No students, no instructors, nothing. There was a sign by the workshop entrance. Electrical installation level 3, places available, inquire within. I stared at that sign for a good 5 minutes, places available. After 2 years of being told there were no places, no funding, no capacity, I walked into reception. That sign outside the electrical workshop, I said. Does that mean you're taking students? The receptionist checked her computer. We've got capacity on the course, she said, but we can't enroll anyone without confirmed funding streams. The equipment's there, the instructors are there, but if the funding's not approved, we can't take you on. The equipment's there, the instructors are there, but they couldn't take me because someone, somewhere, had decided there was no money for it. I started paying attention differently after that. Every time I heard there's no money, I'd look around and see what was actually there. The college had the workshops. The housing developers had the contracts. The lads in the warehouse with me, half of them, had worked construction before the crash and wanted to get back into it. Everything needed for the training existed. The people who wanted the training existed. The jobs that needed the training existed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound told me it couldn't find enough pounds to connect the people who wanted to work to the jobs that needed doing. But I could see with my own eyes that the constraint wasn't money. The constraint was a decision someone made about how many pounds to create and where to spend them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still in the warehouse. I'm still watching the housing sites where electricians turn up one day a week because there aren't enough qualified people to go around. I know now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Darnell experienced has a name: cherry picking. When someone wants to avoid spending money on public programs, they highlight the rare examples where spending failed while ignoring overwhelming evidence of success. It's like rejecting all medical treatment because you heard about one surgery that went wrong while ignoring the millions of successful procedures that happen every day. Every time Darnell was told there's no budget, the officials were cherry-picking isolated examples of construction training programs that overspent or housing projects that faced delays. They ignored the systematic evidence. Countries like Austria and Singapore that have built high-quality public housing for decades, or the UK's own track record of training skilled trades successfully until funding was cut. Other councils tried building housing and it failed, they said, selecting rare failures to justify never trying again. Selective examples prove nothing. Vienna, Singapore, and every major UK city until 1980 built council housing successfully at scale. The question is what conditions make it work, not whether it has ever failed somewhere. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Halifax, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Halifax ranks 45 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 1. The constituency has 734 registered charities according to the Charity Commission register. Total grants received were £15.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Navies. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.